Shall we just ask the Lord's guidance again? We ask, O blessed Lord, that thou wouldst give liberty in the presentation of your word in relationship to marriages, to couples, that we might have some impression put upon our hearts today that will leave some responses with us, adjusting us, making our marital relationships more like the feature of Christ and the assembly. So we bless thee as we are cast entirely upon thee and the Spirit of God. We give thanks. Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Let's just read the book of Acts, chapter 18, and we will read verses 2, 18, and 26. Let me introduce verse 2 by reading verse 1 first. Acts 18. After these things, having left Athens, he, Paul, came to Corinth, and finding a certain Jew by the name Aquila of Pontus by race, just come from Italy, and Priscilla his wife, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome, came to them. That is, Paul came to them. Verse 18. Paul, having yet stayed there many days, took leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea. And verse 26. And we will pick up the context of verse 26 when we get to it. And he began to speak boldly, this is Apollos, in the synagogue. And Aquila and Priscilla, having heard him, took him to them and unfolded to him the way of God more exactly. John, in his exercise, chose to take up this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Generally, when I do lecture on the subject matter of marriage, the family, I tend to go into the pertinent issues relating to the marriage relationship first, then develop issues such as communication, which is really the predominant thing in a marital relationship, because if communication is absent or if it's dysfunctional, then the marriage itself becomes very dysfunctional. So we take up subject matters like communication and work the ropes through on that. Then we also handle issues relative to uniqueness of marriage, fulfilling one another's needs in marriage, expectations in marriage, goals that we set for our marital relationships. Then we do things like roles and responsibilities in marriage. Then we ultimately address one of the big ones, conflict and conflict resolution. Then we talk about in-laws and outlaws.
Outlaws are always wanted.
Outlaws are always wanted. And then we do finances sometimes, and then most of all we do what we call intimacy in relationships, the sexual intimacy. So since we're not going through it that way today, we're going through the subject by looking at a couple in Scripture, and we're hoping that we will be able to extract from the examples in this couple some of the issues that I've just mentioned, and I trust that the question and answer period will provide an opportunity to directly address many of those issues. So let's not be shy. Let's be open.
We know you are not necessarily talking about your own marriage when you ask a question in a hidden way, isn't it so? But nevertheless, be free and at liberty to open up some of these subject matters. This is the area that I work in. I sometimes have to present it this way, even though you realize that your calling is really a heavenly calling as opposed to an earthly one. But I must acknowledge to you that this is my sphere of work. I have a doctorate in psychology and a master's in social work, and I focus on the areas of marital relationships, couple relationships. Also, I do individual therapy in regard to mental health issues as well. So just a little plug. just a little plug. So if there are any needs, you know where to find me. Okay. The first thing I think we need to look at in regard to Aquila and Priscilla is the characteristical feature of a godly marriage. A godly marriage. And what does that mean? It's a marriage that comes under the authority of scriptural principles. It's not just a marriage because we went before a brother, a minister, or whoever it is, or even went down to the town, the city council, and got married there. It's way more than that. It's a marriage that has an element of spirituality attached to it. And I say to you and to myself, if our marriages are not formed on a spiritual basis, they will fall apart. The old adage, a family that prays together stays together, or a couple that prays together stays together, is not a cliche. It's a reality. Surprisingly, in many of the couples that I see, I ask the question, and Christian couples, I ask the question, how often do you spend time in prayer and reading God's word? And invariably, none. From Christian couples. Sad to say, that may be replicated by even many of our own couples in our local assemblies. And that's a sad commentary, that there is little spiritual interchange. Hence, you wonder why difficulties. So we've got in Aquila and Priscilla a godly marriage. A marriage where it's exemplary of Christ and the assembly. And we've made this comment repeatedly in our prayer today. To the point that when we come to the thought of him, of them laying down their lives for the Apostle Paul, It was because it was true of Aquila that he knew the characteristical feature of being sacrificial in regard to his wife. And hence, what was taking place in that little nucleus between Aquila and Priscilla was then expressed in the public arena. They could care for the Apostle Paul. John, you mentioned that whenever you see Aquila and Priscilla, they're always together. There's never once in scripture, under the six times that they are spoken of, was there ever seen separately. They were inseparable as a couple. You know, when we first got married, we always wanted to be together. And then all of a sudden, something started happening. You're going this way, and she's going this way. Why? What has happened? We've begun to lose the zest, the impetus, that bit of power that was initially there begins to wane because circumstances come in at times. But that was not the case with Aquila and Priscilla. Never was there a waning of affections for one another, so that it was manifest in how they dealt with external conditions and circumstances. I said they're always together. You're going to have to spell together this way. T-W-O. Not T-O-G-E-T-H. T-W-O. It's together numerically. And it brings us to the spirit of oneness that comes. They two shall be one. That's one of the mathematical formulas in the marital relationship from the divine perspective, which is vastly different from the normal mathematics. Those of you who are in the field of accounting understand my concept, because one and one is still two, right? But where God is concerned, one and one is one. And Aquila and Priscilla knew it. I'm not going to mention, because it was done already about the six times in the reverse. Let me just quickly say that whenever it is Aquila first, it is the responsible element, the accountable element that is being presented in Aquila, one who knows rightfully his place in the relationship and how to carry it out. That's our responsibility, brothers, as husbands in our relationship, to know our responsibility before God. When it comes to Priscilla being mentioned first, it's the thought of what is subjective, what is practically worked out, where there is the spirit of submissiveness on the part of Priscilla. She knew how to take that role. I'm reminded, you know, of Deborah. You remember when she's introduced in Judges, it says, Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth. It doesn't just simply say Deborah, but Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth. A woman who knew her rightful place so that she could say to Barak, come on, get up. Go after Sisera. What's the matter with you? She encouraged him, and then he says, no, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. And so she says, you're not going to get the victory today, okay? So knowing submissively your rightful place is important. And so did Priscilla. The thoughts that we want to pick up in this particular segment are the two thoughts relative to them being attached to the Apostle Paul, and then the trade that they were in. So Paul comes into Corinth, as we saw in verse 1 of chapter 18. He finds Aquila and Priscilla. They had just left Rome. They had been thrown out of Rome by Claudius's edict, and so they had come to Ephesus. And Paul finds them there. And I'm pretty sure that when Paul saw them, he looked at them, having not heard anything, no hallabaloo, no great exploits about their service or any of that sort. I think Paul looked at them and saw in their practical walk a feature that was very attractive. He saw a couple who knew how to be interconnected, who worked together on the line of their marital relationship that demonstrated that they were in harmony with the mind of God concerning the relationship they were in. He saw them moving together in the same track. You know, they say to me sometimes that after we've been married a while, we begin to look alike. You know that's true? We begin to look alike, we begin to act alike. There is this kind of flow, this continuity that occurs, that flows from one to the next. And sometimes you say to yourself, am I crazy? I was thinking the same thing. I'm sure some of us have experienced that. And I believe that that's what was with Aquila and Priscilla. There was that that Paul saw, and he said, this is a beautiful couple. And Paul does what? He attaches himself to them. There was a godly home, undoubtedly, that was present to have been a positive influence and attraction to Paul. So he finds an attachment and an affinity with them. Not just simply because, and we're going to come to their tent making, but because there was something in them of a godly nature. A godly character attracted the Apostle Paul to them. Because he saw that there was where the supremacy and the rights of Christ were present with them. He saw that there was a home where Christ had his lordship, not his headship, because the headship of the home is the man. You are the head. But his lordship authority was present in the home. There was nothing done by Aquila or Priscilla without the rights of Christ, his lordship authority being the expressed thing. He saw a home where the Word of God was read daily. Read daily. As I just said before, ask the question all the time. Do you have devotions? One Christian gentleman 2 weeks ago with his wife, when I said, devotions, he said to me, what are devotions? What are devotions? I trust that we don't have to explain that here today. What are devotions? I had to go through with him step by step to show him what a Christian husband and father should be doing. I did it previously to another couple, and several weeks later they came back to me with their son and said, I thank you that you awakened that within us, because for years, and the son is 16 years old, for years we've never had this in our household. Brethren, I speak to us very tenderly on that score because, again, no spiritual influence, don't expect power in your marriage. The word was read daily and appreciated. Not only that, it was a place, their household, where Paul abode with them, there was a place where prayer was wont to be had. Prayer was present in the household of Aquila and Priscilla. Prayer is power. We need power to sustain us in our marriages. We certainly do. Because the enemy of our souls is very active in weakening the family fabric, pulling it down, disconnecting from one another, engaging us with the things of this world as a major distraction. Legitimate, you know, to go to work. Legitimate to do the things of life. Very important. Must be done. But the enemy says, leave off spiritual things. You will get to that later. Yeah, you'll arrive at that later. Figure out your lives now. In regard to your business, your cars, your houses, your job, figure that out first. And then you will get time to figure Christ in at the end. What a loss. The apostle saw that in the matter of prayer, that in that household there was absolute dependence on God. And he admired this couple. Are there any such couples in our local assemblies that we can admire? That we see them as they walk, there is a distinctive feature about them in their relationship with one and the other, and that we can now emulate that kind of characteristical feature in them? Are there such? God grant that we, each one of us, might aspire to be that kind of a couple. Aspire to be that kind of a couple. Either to emulate it from someone, or if we have no such that we can imitate, we can imitate God's word, because God's word sets the standard. We can go there and find Aquila and Priscilla, and we can emulate them. Paul attaches himself to them. Let me say this as I think of attaching. You remember it was Paul who said to Timothy that all in Asia had forsaken me. They had walked away. He said, only Luke is with me. Demas has gone off into the blue skies, having loved this present evil world. All had forsaken me. Let's be careful not to forsake Paul's ministry. In Ephesus, the ministry here is of a high quality. Because remember the book of Ephesians? It's the book of our purpose in Christ. It was the place, Ephesus was the place where tremendous idolatry was present. The books of men and witchcraft and everything was present in Ephesus to its highest height. It is in this very town that Paul writes concerning our heavenly atmosphere and purpose in Christ. So I have no doubt that Aquila and Priscilla became acquainted with the truth of the book of Ephesians, as Paul opens up the gamut of God's divine purpose, the matter of adoption, the greatness of the coming world to come. I believe that these are truths that Aquila and Priscilla were acquainted with. They held on to Paul. Paul attached himself to them. May we be those who attach ourselves to the ministry of the Apostle Paul. It will help our marital relationships. The second one that we want to touch on is they had the same trade. The end of verse 3. They were tent makers by trade. Tent makers by trade. Another special feature of Aquila and Priscilla, besides the matter of attachment to Paul, because there was something remarkable in their character and behavior with one another, there was something very evident in their work. They wrought together in tent making. And Paul himself was very much a tent maker. He used that employment of his from time to time to support and nourish himself in the ministry as well. As tent makers, what is implied? A tent seems to tell us of things that are temporary. Things that are temporary, having a structure, a tent has pretty much a structure, a board structure or something of that sort upon which the canvas or the covering will go. And you would put up your tent from time to time as you are doing service that had to do with movement. Temporary service. Remember, it was Abraham. He had a tent. And he had an altar. His tent spoke to us of what was not permanent. It spoke to us of a man who is on a journey through. He's a pilgrim. He's a stranger. He has Canaan in view. And that is what he was heading to, where his permanent residence is. But the tent was his transitory means through the scene.
I believe the significance of Paul in association with Aquila and Priscilla has in view the sense of our pilgrimage character in this scene. Not setting up any permanent stakes here. Realizing that we are to give the feature of a stranger, one who is just visiting, a pilgrim, one who is just passing through, but he has something of a greater objective in view. And so Aquila and Priscilla were of such a mind. As tent makers, we have what we sang this morning, called from above, heavenly men by birth. They knew their heavenly calling. Hence, no permanency here in this scene. No stocks or bonds here, because they realized that if they had stocks and bonds here, they could either lose them, the stock market could crash, or they could easily slip away from them, they could die. And so, to whom does it belong? So theirs was not, let's set up a structure here in this life, let's bear in mind our heavenly character. We are tent makers because we are pilgriming through this dark scene. I think in Thanksgiving I mentioned earlier about the tassels of blue, the lace of blue. If you go back to Numbers, that's where it comes up in Numbers 15, where they were required, people of God were required to wear the lace of blue around their garments. And blue in scripture reminds us of what is heavenly in character, of our origins, of the place to which we belong, the place to which we are going. So as couples, do we have, like Aquila and Priscilla, the lace of blue around us that will indicate to other couples, indicate to the world that we are not of the world that passes away? This is a couple that was very particular about their heavenly character and about their testimony. Very particular. They would not for one moment allow the true character to slip away and allow anyone to get any other impression as to who they are. They kept the heavenly character. As in 1 Corinthians 15, we bear the image of the heavenly man. Aquila and Priscilla understood that. They bore that character of the heavenly man. Called from above, heavenly by birth. Moving where? Moving towards what is characteristically heavenly. Demonstrating the temporary nature of their residency here. So with this in mind, I close. Attached to Paul. Well, first of all, a godly couple. Very particular about their sacred calling. Here to manifest the features in their marital relationship to the world that their marriage was formed in heaven, even though it was lived out on earth. Formed in heaven, lived out on earth. And that they were prepared to associate themselves with Paul, his ministry. But Paul himself was prepared to attach himself
There was an affinity with Paul to them because they were a very impressive couple. If Paul came today, would he see the same features of Aquila and Priscilla with us as couples? Would he be attached to us? Would he want to associate himself with us? Because that's a living character, characteristical feature of Christ and the assembly. I close with that for now, and we'll come back with the other aspects of Aquila and Priscilla on the next lecture. John, I leave it to you.
Perhaps we can sing a hymn and then we'll start the group discussion, or we might give it time for some questions to be raised up or written. Another reminder, there is a box in the front and a box in the back. We have heard something this morning. Whatever questions you want us to address, please feel free to bring them to the discussion after one hand that